when one of the techs was working on my new truck that someday will appear in my driveway. He came up to Ashley and said, "Hey, I was doing some research on this truck where it's been, and it belonged to a Navy chaplain." Aww. Yeah, no way. Like, isn't that cool? So this has been so neat. This is all about this. You know, often you wonder, okay, what did I do right? What's good? What's happening here? I want to pay attention to this because there's a flow. And when there's a flow in your life, you want to keep it. Like, okay, you know, it was because I held my foot upright. I mean, what did I do? And and I remembered, I've come to a place. Is it about sewing? Is it about this? And all of that's important and valid, but I've come to a place, Song of Solomon 7:10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. It's about coming to this place, as the hardest place to come to, where you can dare to believe that the Lord delights in you. That's hard. That can be very challenging. Sometimes we have trouble even looking at ourselves in the mirror, like, whoa. Because it, you know, it reflects. We go, I'm not lovely. I know what's here. I'm not lovely. Come to a place that you realize, regardless of how you evaluate yourself, his desire is for you, that he loves you. May not always be pleased with you. That's a given. Maybe a father sometimes is like, Rick, you know, I see that, you know. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. His desire is not for me, that he desires my heart, my affection. The greatest gift I can give him, I have conversations with Phyllis about this. The greatest thing that she gives me is her look of adoration. Like, you can't just get that, and there's usually only a few people in your whole life that just love you, that can look at you and say, I love you, without saying a word. And you can give that look to the Lord. That ravishes his heart. And if you can get there, then things begin to open up, and life opens up in your walk with the Lord. I was listening to a teaching by Stephen DeSilva, and he was the financial guy at Bethel for a long time, and handling lots of money. And he went through all their seasons where there wasn't enough money to pay the bills, and it can be very stressful being the church treasurer, etc. Ask any of them that have done it, like, whoa, it can be tough, you know. And so you go through all the stuff and watch all the ups and downs and live through all the ups and downs of finances. And of course, Bethel Church became very, very prosperous, we'll just say that, and affecting so many things in the whole world. And so now Stephen DeSilva, he's moved on from that, and he has a ministry and does financial sozos and whatever. Neat guy, written books, and he calls himself now a recovering accountant. I'm a recovering accountant. And he has added such a spiritual dynamic. He wrote a book called The Prosperous Soul, and I just gleaned so much from that. I shared on that subject for a good while, a while back, a year or so ago. I forget when exactly. And so I saw he did a teaching on last Friday night, so I listened to it on my Bethel TV app. And he goes to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, and you can turn with me if you would there. It was his theme for what he spoke on. And then, of course, he shared some things about money, but the revelation that he had, I'm like, oh, that's good. It immediately started it clicked with me. And Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." So you have this, the plans of the diligent versus the hasty. The plans of the hasty when you're pressed and you're making decisions and they're hastily, and yesterday you weren't going to do this and today all of a sudden you're doing this. And we know that affects our finances, it affects a lot of things, but it affects all of life. And he differentiated, and he took that then and had a revelation about it and said that it is being led versus being driven. And then he's really speaking. I'm like, oh yes, wow, that's a big deal. And in Genesis, you see the word being driven referred to. It's, well, let me just put it this way: it's not a good thing. They were driven out of the garden, so it's not a good day when you're driven from the presence of the Lord. And the truth is that any time driven shows up in your life, in your heart, being driven, you won't be in the presence of the Lord. That's almost a guarantee. You can have the juice. You can be really going after something, but you will not have the presence of the Lord. You can have a lot of zeal, a lot of zest, a lot of whatever. There's a difference between being led by the Spirit and living in that, opposed to being driven. And it's when you start getting angry and you snap at the dog and the kids and the wife. Those are the symptoms. You're being driven. You're not being led. You're like, well, I've got to do this. Like, maybe. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, we always have our excuses for why we need to get her done, you know? We need to make a decision. We need to, something has to change. You ever hear that in your household, in your life? Things got to change. Yeah, probably, but take her easy, you know. Take a moment, breathe. Breathe the breath from heaven and see if it looks the same in a few moments as it does if you stay in that mode. So I started just to meditate. He said, when you can feel the wind on your back, like that driving wind, that's when you know you're being driven, not being led. And he compared being led to sheep and being driven to pigs. Well, there's a great contrast. He says, you can, for the most part, unless somebody here has a pet pig, you can go out and go, hey, pig, you know, or you're making a movie about a pig, you know. That went to a whole nother place, but it was cute. It was cutesy. But once you get the pig's attention, it looks at you and snorts a few times, he goes back to wallowing in the mud, right? Like, you know, rolls in the mud some more. And we don't want to be, if you want the pig to go somewhere, you got to drive it. You've got to yell at it, chase it with your tractor or your four-wheeler or whatever, however you're going to, you know, move them. And different animals are like that, but sheep are unique. They know the voice of their shepherd and they are led. And this is actually how the Lord prefers to interact with us, to lead us. It's beautiful. As worship leaders, we want to lead people into worship, not drive them into worship. It's a little difference that makes all the difference, isn't it? Like the Spirit is leads us. He wants to lead us, and that happens by you giving attention and connecting with the shepherd, connecting with the Lord, and asking him to and interacting with him. So you may have two people that have the same scenario or the same problem that they're looking at. And the one that is led by the Spirit will interact with the Lord, wait on the Lord. This is what waiting on the Lord is about. It's not about doing nothing. It's about interacting with the Lord about this thing. Because I know if I don't interact with the Lord about this thing and I go try to fix it myself, it's probably going to turn into a mess or debt. If you want to add into the financial thing. And when he was doing this message, he goes, anytime there's money involved, he said, there's always turbulence. And money has a way of exaggerating every problem. And then he said, money's not really real. You go, oh, How in God's name do we get so fussed up about something that isn't even real? Wait for it. It doesn't transfer into the heavenlies. Even if you show me cash, it's probably not real. It's only worth what the paper it's printed on. So, with all this emphasis on something that's not real, and that's that life of being driven. That's that thing where there's this anxiousness, and I've got to do something, and then you step into something. And I've had actually a year of really practicing this and finally getting some victories. Because you all know we can justify about anything. The roof's leaking. I need a new roof. I mean, I was right on the brink. And I'm like, take it easy. I don't actually have the money to put a new roof on. I could justify doing it. I have resources I can tap into, you know. I could have done it. Would have interrupted my already overwhelmed schedule, but I was right there. And all of a sudden, and this is this thing where I went, but do I really have to do it right now? How much better if I waited and planned, like this proverb says, the plans of the diligent. And how to plan, and that in a little bit of time, a good plan will be peaceful to do. And wait a little bit of time and some things will change and I should have the money to do it without going in debt. And I'm telling you, I was close. It's just an example. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Who cares if I do my roof or don't do my roof? I had a mess in my study. I looked up and wow, the ceiling's ready to fall in. I had no idea it was happening, and I thought when the dog was head wet on the carpet, I'm like, oh, Billy, I'm so, you know, I scrubbed up, you know, another spot, but I'm like, but it doesn't smell like anything, but it's got to be him, it couldn't be anything. You know, I didn't look up to realize the ceiling of my study had this bulge of water above it. I saw it a few days later. I'm like, you know, a roof's leaking, I didn't even know it. Oh, no, 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 don't let the rain come down. Are any of you old enough to remember that song? Uh-oh, oh, no, don't let the rain come down. I've got a couple like that. Forget it. But it was, you know, I think that was even before Peter, Paul, and Mary. So who dat? Anyways, there was a Paul, and there was a Peter, and there was a Mary. Yeah, Bible. We're talking Bible. So temporarily fix that, go up, like, oh, wow, my roof's leaking. So easy to jump for things, but I went, but I've got a history of this, and I've got the debt to prove it. What a difference, what a tremendous difference, and what a joy in the Lord, the same problem, waiting on the Lord, everything changes. It's not that you ignore it. It's not that you whatever. You wait on the Lord, and getting back into the waiting and like checking out of that haste. And this applies all across the board in your lives, doesn't it? There's haste. If you recognize haste, if you feel that driving wind, take caution, pull up, go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you ever been driving in some bad weather? I mean, usually we've been too young to say, oh, I can drive through this. But once you get older and a little smarter, you go, I think I'm going to just pull over for a minute until I can actually see where I'm going. Why drive at 60 miles an hour when you can't see your hand in front of your face? But, oh yeah, we're young, I can handle this. You finally get smart and you go, I think I'll just pull over for a second. The rain will pass. And the same thing about that driving force that comes and life comes and situations come and you're in this like, oh, gotta. What if you start, I've been checking out of this, and I got peaceful, and I went, I'm going to come up with a plan to repair my roof for the moment. I don't like doing that. It usually doesn't work out well. Like, no, but I did it out of peacefully knowing this isn't the moment to fix the roof. I can repair it. I can fix it. And it'll be okay. And I will get ready in a year or two, because my roof's not quite ready to be replaced, but it's there. So, you know, why not? You know, and it's like, I got peaceful again. That's the only reason for that illustration. Peace came back. I did the simple repair, because I'm always like, it's broke, fix the whole thing. I'm prone to go there. There's days when that works out good, and there's days when I'm moving in haste. No, just wait. What a difference when we wait, and this comes out of our relationship with the Lord. You cannot do this unless you interact with Jesus and get peaceful. He's the only one that can really bring you to this. This is what it means to wait on the Lord, to be face to face with a haste, with a need for haste. But Lord, I think there may be an answer. I'm going to wait for just a moment. I'm not being negligent. I'm going to wait on you to lead me, to guide me. I'm going to give you opportunity to step in here. How many things, how many times? And then once you get in the rhythm of that thing, people start showing up behind you with a coupon so you can save $60. I mean, stuff just starts happening because you're functioning, you're walking, and it's waiting on the Lord. And life all of a sudden looks different, and the ordinary becomes very, very exciting because Jesus shows up in it. Another thing, I keep referring to this little things that Stephen De Silva interjected, but they're so good. He said, you think you have anxiety because you don't have money? You ought to meet some of the people that do have money. He said, it doesn't lessen, it increases. And he gives this illustration. I just met with a man. He meets with people all over the world now. Prays with them, asks for wisdom, and, you know, let's go after the heart of what's going on in your finances and, you know, ask Jesus to come and show us, et cetera. Says, I just met with a man that he was full of anxiety because he was only making $80,000 a month. And he said, I thought, you poor soul. He said, he wanted to get up to 100 or 120,000 a month. Because he's a church planter and he wants resources to do that. He wants to give more. That's why he wanted to increase. Go, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have, like, there was more to the story before I went, you know. But people with wealth have a bigger responsibility, so you might as well get peaceful right now, because having more doesn't make him more peaceful. Win the lottery and see how many phone calls you get that, like, about ruin your life. Mm-hmm. So it obligates you. There's responsibility. So learn to manage the little you have. Get peaceful right now. Learn right now to trust the Lord. Learn right now to stay in peace. Because the Lord, what if the Lord's waiting on you to prosper you? I think more often than not, this is the case. What if the Lord's just waiting? I love to really bless you. I would love to, but I can't right now. It would ruin you. It would hurt you more than it would help you. You're not ready for the responsibility that comes. Now, does that make you just take a second look at your life right now? If you're not faithful with what you have, you won't be faithful with more of what you have. So being faithful and being diligent in little things, it's super important. It's big. Learn to find the Lord in your simple life right now, today, so that more can be released to you. Let's look at some of these scriptures, being led by the Lord. It opened up a whole thing. I'm like, oh, we need to just take some time and talk about this. We need to be professionals. This needs to be like our I Ching, our mark, our logo, that we are led by the Spirit. And it's not a cop-out. It's I follow that leading. And you want more of it in your life? Then obey the little voice. Practice on a daily basis what's the Spirit saying to you, and you will know the difference. You'll know when he's back to my truck story. Every time I've been, you know, in the mode for a couple years, like dreaming, and then the last year, like, I'm getting close. It's time, you know, it's getting time. And I would go to look online or whatever, just trying to figure out what, and I felt, would feel grieved, quenched about it, like, and I'd have to quit, like, I'm not supposed to do this. How many of you know there's nothing morally wrong with looking at trucks on the, you know, online? But I would feel that, like, this isn't the way I'm supposed to do it. This isn't right. This isn't, nope, it's wrong. And so I just have to go, no, this doesn't feel right. No moral reason. There's no scripture for that. But I was following that leading, and that was the wrong, I was off the track, and the little beep, 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 beep. Have you ever driven one of those newer cars that beep when you get off the line? I mean, I've had them as a rental when my car was in the shop. Drove me crazy. I'm like, my wife's sitting there going, you know, like, eh, there you did it again, off the lines. I'm like, this thing, stop. I thought I was a good driver until I drove one of those. I'm like, it was beeping the whole way every place I went. Beep, bop, beep, 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 bop, beep, beep, beep. I'm like, geez. Better pay attention to where I'm at. Keep it between the lines. Being led by the Spirit. Let's look at some scriptures. Romans chapter 8, because this really renews our mind. Just, it's like, yeah, I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to follow the Spirit. And first, I guess you've got to come to a decision about whether you believe that the Spirit wants to lead you or not. In relationships, in what church you go to, in what vehicle you buy, in what house you buy, at all these decisions, there are all these things. Whether to have children, once I have children, what to do with my children, how to raise my children, have a couple. You'll be like, oh, Jesus, help. I had the first one, and I thought I had it down. I had the second one. I'm like, this is a little tougher. Then the third one came. Oh, my God, I don't know anything. These are all opportunities for us to seek the Lord and get his wisdom, get his insight. Sooner or later, you run out of your own abilities to do something, and that's the best thing that can happen to you, that you need the Lord, that you seek the Lord, that you wait on him. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 14, this should be the earmark of every believer. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you cannot receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, etc. It goes on. As many as are led, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit are born. Like that's the earmark. These are the sons. In other words, invert it, sons are led by the Spirit. True sons and daughters are led by the Spirit. That's how we roll. You go, oh, you pray about everything. Uh-huh. And when I don't, I should. Let everything be a matter of prayer. Let every day begin with, Lord, lead me. I want to be in your rhythm. I don't want to be living this day by myself. I don't want to be living this day unto myself, maybe would be a better way to put it. And you hesitate, you go, I'm just going to work. I'm not doing anything. Nothing fantastic is going to happen. But I've been more conscious lately of praying that more. And days I think nothing spectacular is going to happen today. And click, what's spectacular is when you get to partner with Jesus in reconciliation, touching people, helping people connect. Of ministering a kindness, a smile, a touch, of getting having a person talk to you, they're opening up their heart, and you realize they needed to at that moment. I'm partnering with my Father in this ministry of reconciliation. Galatians chapter 5, 18, we'll look at a couple things in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in 5:18 it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So this is an answer to staying out of legalism. The law kills. The rule keeping for rule keeping's sake kills, depresses you. If you're led by the Spirit, you won't fall under that thing. And down a few verses in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So why, after we're born of the Spirit, would we revert to figuring out things on our own and living this right way in the sense of, I do it right. Here's how it's supposed to be done. But rather to follow, to be led, to value being led. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, here's an intense situation. Most of the Gospels address this. Mark chapter 13, 11. This is like worst day of your life type of scripture. Probably not posted on your refrigerator door. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a... I mean, this is like, I don't want to take away from what that is. That's very serious. But have you ever been in any situation where something has happened and now you're going to have to explain what you're doing and why you're doing it? You're under the gun. You're called to the office, called to the superintendent's office. You've got a notice from somebody important that you need to show up. Something has happened. Something's wrong. They need to talk to you. And the Holy Spirit, this is the earmark of the believer, is that you trust that in that hour, the Spirit will tell you what to say. That's what he's saying to these being called in. They're being persecuted. They're being arrested. They've not done anything wrong. I mean, we scream injustice real quickly over petty things sometimes. It's never petty when you're the one going through it, but in the big, you know, in the big scheme of things, some of the things we have a royal fit about are not that big of a deal, really, right? Right? Not really. So that's extreme, but in every situation, to be a people who are earmarked by this, that you trust the Lord instead of figuring out the solution beforehand. We're always running scenarios through our mind, how we're going to answer something, how we're going to explain something, how we're going to defend ourselves, right? If you know you're in trouble with your wife or your husband, you're running scenarios, how you're going to defend yourself. Why I didn't take the garbage out, why I didn't do this, why I didn't do that. I was this, I was that. You have this defense. So in as small as situations, we go there, the Holy Spirit's speaking to something very big here. Don't figure out what you're going to say. I'll give you the words to say. There are a lot of situations we could just really, we need to stick this in our pocket and go, the Lord told me not to figure this out. He told me that in the moment, in the hour, because his desire is for me, to love me, that he will give me the words at that point, at that time. He'll tell me what to say, what I need to say. Do you understand how important that is? And you usually only have a moment. And it's important that you have that flow, that at that moment the Lord speaks to you. You have God words. Do you understand? I remember going through a season where I'm like, Lord, I want Jesus words for this stuff. Because Jesus words just kind of, if I could find Jesus words, it would just calm this storm. Even if it's just a little storm in my household or with the people we deal with, just a Jesus word would just, And this is a big, this can be a big part of our life, dealing with, there are some very serious situations represented in our lives, in our households here, in our worlds, aren't there? It can be very intense at times to know what to do. And Jesus had this way, no matter what came at him, he's like this, you know, ninja defense. You know, have you ever seen like some movie that's not real, but you know, where they just calmly stop all the fiery darts just with, you know, and you go, oh, too cool. You know, it's Indiana Jones being come at with a samurai sword and he pulls out his gun. You know, it's that thing. You go, here, I've got some wisdom for you. Boom. Probably shouldn't use that illustration. Sorry. But out of this peaceful place, you have a word for, you just have Jesus type of words that just make the whole thing go away. Do you understand that's what we have access to? Could I just encourage your hearts for a moment, whatever your turmoil may be, that there's a Jesus word and there's a word of wisdom that'll just put the whole thing down. It's like, sweet. No anger, no malice, nothing to be sorry for tomorrow. I always have those, oh, I need to apologize, I need to repent. To be able to just speak something and have no regrets, wow, Jesus, that would be a miracle. John chapter 16, verse 13. This is so healthy for us to just renew our minds about this, because we get so caught up in our culture to fix stuff and do things and be ahead of it and turn to all the other sources for answers, when actually we need to be the people to go, when I say I'm going to pray about it, I mean I'm going to sit before the Lord and he's going to give me, with an expectation, he's going to show me what to do. That is what should be normal for you. When you go, I'm going to pray about it, it's not just a defer, I don't want to answer you, I don't want to deal with this right now. It needs to be a, wow, that's big. I'm going to go pray about that, and I expect I'm going to have wisdom. Sometime soon, I'm going to know what to do there. That should be our expectation. That's what this is, is to reinforce that we should have that expectation. John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So again, let your confidence grow in this, that Jesus hears from the Father, and Jesus doesn't keep secrets from you. He will tell you. He will reveal to you what you need to know. He's not like for some big joke trying to withhold information from you. When you're ready for it, he will give it to you. If something's withheld, it's for a very good reason. It's not to mess with your head. And so access is there. And if he doesn't answer right now, you just sit in a very patient place, say, when I'm ready to hear it, I expect you'll tell me. Have you ever had somebody ask you something? You go, you're not ready to hear this. You're not going to do well. I don't want to see you flopping around on the deck the rest of the night. We'll wait till later. Because sometimes we react to things, don't we? So, for whatever reason, let's let Jesus be Jesus. And as we were interacting this morning, Phyllis and I, and I was sharing with her a little bit of what direction I was going to take this morning. She said, is it okay to share this? So, you know, we get so familiar with certain scriptures, and then we associate certain passages with certain things, like weddings and funerals. And she was looking up something and came to Psalms 23. Was it on this subject that you looked? It was something else. You just wanted to read something. And she clicked on Psalm 23. And if she'd have thought about what it actually was, Psalm 23 actually was, she wouldn't have, because you're familiar with it. Because at every funeral it shows up. Or 1 Corinthians, 13. at every wedding. It shows up. But we get familiar with something, and we forget the truths that are there. And she read, and she said, yeah, Psalms 23, because I was just looking up scriptures that had to do with being led. It's like, so, I was like, of course Psalms 23. What's the matter with, you know, why wouldn't I think that, remember that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's where he leads me. One out of the turmoil. Check, please. Come here. How often does Jesus want to just pull you away? Here, come. Over here, behind the rock, where it's quiet and peaceful. Let that chaos go on for a little bit. Just step over here with me. Wouldn't you like to be invited by Jesus in the midst of chaos, to just be invited over into the cleft of the rock while it goes on? Because sooner or later it will burn out. And usually if you stay there, you're just going to add to it, right? Because pretty soon you're going to get mad or offended, and then you're going to really, yeah, in case things weren't escalated enough, you're going to go. Do you understand you have the power, if you'll get in the Spirit, be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, to calm all kinds of storms just with your presence? Like, that's the promise that's to us. You should be able to walk into a storm if you're in the Spirit and the thing calmed down. When we get to this place where we're walking the Spirit enough, that is not ridiculous. That's not out of reach. In Psalms 25, verse 9, lead me in your truth and teach me. Lead me in your truth and teach me. As I get older, I'm learning. It's good to learn things. It's good to be taught. That's a good thing. When I was younger, I know it all, and if I don't, I'm going to fake it and bluff it, and I don't want anybody to know what I don't know. Now, I'm over it. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't know how to do that. Can you show me how to do it better? Like, major changes. I like the new me. I'm doing better. Because I'm less about me, more about, I'm more teachable, more approachable. Like, yeah, oh yeah, wasn't thinking that. Lead me in your truth. Teach me. Psalms 27:11. Teach me your way and lead me in a smooth path. Again, a lot of chaos in your life. That's not the Lord's heart. That's not his will. You go, yeah, but you don't know where I live and who I live with and where I work. This isn't limited to where you work and who you're married to, and what household you live in, and what family you were raised in. This isn't affected by that. This promise, teach me your way, lead me in a smooth path, Psalms 27:11. Psalms 31:3, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now there, you want to get over yourself? Just start praying like that. Like, Lord, I got a reputation, but I'm over it. Will you do this for your name's sake? You see, you start tapping into that. He's like, oh yeah, because you're making me look bad right now. You're making a mess out of things. And then you tell everybody you're a Christian, like you need help. And you're making me look bad. Now, I'm being a little bit funny, but the point is, there's a whole nother level to pray, because the Lord wants you to be blessed. He wants you to do well. If you're... Do you want your kids to be dressed badly when they're in your care? Do you want them to look bad? Does it matter to you? I hope it matters. Go, oh, those are my kids. I don't want them out there with inferior sports equipment, and I don't want them going to school with clothes that are raggedy, and I want them to look like they came out of my household, that I'm taking care of my children. That's what I don't want them to look unfed. I want them to look healthy and well. Because after all, what are they going to say? They go, hey, those are Rick's kids. So for my own namesake, I want to take, in case I don't love my children, I want to take care of them because there's something at stake here for me. And the God of all the earth, and not because he's not vain, he cannot be. He doesn't qualify for pride or vanity or all those things because he's God. Like, does not apply, does not apply, does not apply, does not apply. Because he's God. And so it's even in his best interest. Like, he wants you to, just because you go, I belong to Jesus. And he's like, he doesn't want that to look bad on him. He wants to take care of us, and it's bigger than us. That's all I want to say. It's bigger than you when you ask and you desire. Let's turn to Psalms 139, verse 10. Psalms 139:10. And I don't want to belabor this. We'll just close with this verse. Now I've lost Psalms. Where did you go? I love to think this talks about no matter where you are, the Lord will still lead you. It's kind of an obscure passage, but Psalms 139:10, it says, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So you back up a few verses and it starts talking about where can I go in verse 7? Where can I go from your spirit and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, verse 9, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. So tell me, where do you think you are that the Lord can't lead you and bring you to peace and take care of you and answer you? Where do you think you are that he can't reach there? What situation do you think you're in that he can't get into and redeem and make right? What place do you think you are? What God-forsaken land do you think you live in that he can't get there? That's what's so valuable about this. No matter where you are, it's not about that. There's nothing. There's no place he can't get to. And interesting what the psalmist says, even there you will lead me. Even there you will lead me as a shepherd. Even there you will find me. You'll bring me into peace. Even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. The comfort of the Lord. The left hand of God is the unseen, but the right hand is the one that's felt. The comfort that is felt. It comforts you. Put his arm around you. That's the greatest feeling. That when someone that you know cares about you just comes and puts their arm around you. Just that. All of a sudden, everything's okay. Even there, he can find you. So let's take some time this morning to see what the Lord wants to do. Father, in every of all of our hearts, where is it in our lives that we're not yielding to you? We're not trusting you to lead us. What parts of our life do we think that you wouldn't want to be involved in? Why would we think that you only want to be in the midst of a church service and not in the rest of the day when we're just walking with you and enjoying the day? Why do we qualify some things as spiritual and other things as secular? What if all of life, all of the life that we lived was in your presence and walking with you? What if we started to believe that you want to show up in every aspect of our life? In the work, in the play, in the relationships, in the desires, in the failures, in the past, in the future, why would we think you wouldn't want to show up in everything? I'd encourage you today, begin to believe there's nothing that he doesn't want to be involved in with you, because he wants relationship with you. His desire is for you. Are you making your heart available to that? Are you available? His desire is for you. Are you available to interact, to walk with him? His desire is for you. Are you willing to let him in, even if he may say no to something, to come to the place where, Lord, if this isn't what you want, then I don't want it. If this isn't what's good, then that's not good. I trust if you say no to this, then that's good with me, because I know you wouldn't say no just because. You'd say no because that wasn't the best for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Maybe we're afraid sometimes to trust that you will actually lead us in something. Do any of you have fear about trusting the Lord in an area? Just answer that between you and Jesus. Is there something you fear about? Because if you're born of the Spirit and you know Jesus, that's illegal. That's like offensive to the one that gave his life for you. But having said that, you can still have fears about turning certain things over to the Lord and trusting certain things over to the Lord. Afraid of what he might say. Father, in Jesus' name, deliver us from our misery, because that's all we are when we're not trusting you in certain areas and not seeking you and committing things to you. And I just ask today that you will accept simple prayers of resolve, simple prayers, the simpler the better, the more direct the better, as we take bigger steps to trusting you. Take bigger steps to trusting you. I commit these things to you. I commit this to you, Lord Jesus. Whether they are work, whether they are play, whether they are spiritual, whether they are not spiritual, seemingly. Father, in Jesus' name, ask for your peace to come on every person's heart, that we can live one moment at a time and live in the present, and one day at a time and one situation at a time. I ask that you give us peace. Some of us are tormented because there's never peace. We always should be somewhere else. We should always be doing something else. We should always be doing more of something. We should always be doing less of something. Well, Father, ask for a grace today for peace to just come. Release us from all that. None of that helps us change. It only drives in the anxiety. It only seals it in. In Jesus' name today, just ask for peace to come. Peace, peace, peace. We'll just release that to you. We'll just repent for hanging on to even the little things that we would hang on to. Even the little things that we would hang on to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Take that and show us that he is God of the impossible.
Amen. He's the God of the impossible. Amen. Only God can be. Only God can be. If anybody's stuck today in your life, and what I mean by that is you're not on an adventure, you're just surviving. That's stuck. That's bad. It's a bad state of life to be in. Just ask Jesus to take you on an adventure and just follow the smallest thing. It may just be a desire of your heart. Just take a step and it'll open up. Just take a step and it will open up. Just choose to go on an adventure, on your adventure. This is living life. We've left religion far behind, about trying to do a lot of things right. Just, Lord, what's the adventure? No one's stuck, no victims. The Lord shows up in your simple situations. It's exciting. It's good. It's good.